everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at imbdb.com, the internet music video database. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, what's going on, new music videos, etc., etc. My name is Adam Fairholm of imbdb fame. And then with us, as usual, from Brooklyn, New York, Bushwick, to be exact, is Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. Kitty on fleek.
Kitty on fleek. I'm ashamed to admit that I know what song that's coming from. And I'm not going to say.
Joanna Newsom.
And then Adam Alexander is at, what is it, Up Festival? Some sort
Up
of festival.
Up Fest.
Everybody get ready for Up Fest. It's August, Up Fest time. So we are joined instead by a very special guest, Mr. Ian Perlman, director and director of photography, also of Brooklyn. So Ian, you are literally inches away from Doug right now.
Yes, I am sitting on Doug's lap.
essentially, we're sharing a set of headphones. This is how
he's a little shy.
This is how high budget the Music Video Land This Week in Music Videos podcast is. Mark Moran, you think you're slumming it in your garage? Do you share headphones with President Obama? No, you don't. Mark. No, you fucking don't. But we do. Ian and I are sharing headphones.
Love and life.
Ian's been to my building before because he shot a music video on the roof of the building that I live in.
Sure did. Yeah, it was actually a nice reoccurrence of this place.
You keep showing up.
Yeah.
And that video's coming out soon, right? It's 360.
It is. It's for this awesome band called Made Violent. I think it's my best project to date.
That's
right. And this roof. It's all made it happen. Yeah.
Shot on this roof.
So you get to feel immersed in the illustrious Doug's rooftop. Well, little did anyone know that.
No, but you didn't even know I lived here.
You don't even know it's his actual apartment now. I could be lying.
Right. You don't know how many times I've stood next to people while they smoke cigarettes on that roof, but literally half a dozen times in the time I lived here. So,
Ian, you directed a video for Easy TV
I did.
In July, which is fantastic video,
the whole thing is all in Brooklyn. It's all in Fort Greene, kind of by that park, and where Ezra and Shane, I think even Michael lived. No, Michael lives outside of Fort Greene, but the whole band is based around there. I think still are, but yeah. So it was kind of like an homage to kind of where the record was coming from, and just really loved that initial location in Fort Greene Park. I remember Shane, the bassist, had kind of, you know, that being one of the images that he wanted to show me, and seeing that, it kind of all spawned into, you know, what the video is, of just this love for the kind of area and, you know, a bunch of different cool locations. I love that project. It was really fun to work with Captured Tracks again. It's one of my favorite labels, I think, ever. So,
and there's that location where you... I've never seen it before, where it's like all these steps, and then there's like one column up there, and that's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's Fort Greene Park, and it's awesome.
It's fancy.
Yeah. I got my Rocky on, I guess. I really wanted the band to run up those stairs, but I got an extra to do it for me.
Is you got ASAP Rocky on?
Yeah, actually, little does anyone know that the ASAP Rocky is actually walking down the stairs at one point with his hands on his head to kind of hide his appearance.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of good cameos in that video.
I watched this video like a week ago, and then watched it again today, and I totally missed ASAP Rocky. I don't even know how I did.
Wait, he's not really in there. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Wait, I was just kidding.
No, I'm dead serious.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy. He was like, yo, let me be in that video. I was like, all right.
Okay, wait, sure. Tell who is, who is,
I haven't watched this video recently enough to remember that ASAP Rocky is in it.
Ian, you gotta come clear with us.
All right, well, he's He's not, but I can dream, right?
It's like, wait a second, I don't even remember.
You know, on that, I'm going to actually make a new cut and may or may not put A$AP Rocky's head on the character that I'm trying to make everyone believe is on there.
I see the kid running up the stairs. Although A$AP Rocky is on my shit list now because he had an amazing album and then he ruined that Selena Gomez song.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either, unfortunately.
I'm not with you, but I believe you.
Yeah, he has a feature on "Good for You" by Selena Gomez.
Oh, I do know what you're talking.
Good for
about.
You.
Good for you. Yeah, it's about vegetables. Right.
I didn't listen to that song far enough to get to the A$AP. I liked what I heard though, but I'm sad.
It's it's a great song. It's for Michelle Obama's campaign for healthier school lunches.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I get
good
it.
For you.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a joke. Everybody, that's a joke.
I'm missing everybody's jokes tonight.
So, speaking of, as I was frantically scrolling through the Easy TV Dust in the Sky video to find A$AP Rocky, I did notice that that YouTube has a new video player. Have you guys noticed this? It's just been released in the last week or so, and I know we have some... Doug works for Vimeo, so we can't talk about YouTube, but...
We talk about YouTube all the time. They do have a new player. It's
they sure do.
I guess they've had it. I feel like maybe over just over a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot like clearer. Would be how to describe it.
Yeah, it's got a more like cleaner user interface. It's actually over the video. It's one of those things that as soon as it comes out, I completely forget of what the interface was before, which I think is the mark of a good user interface, because I look at it and I'm like, oh, well, I don't really know anything different. Unless somebody showed me a picture, even though I've been playing YouTube videos for...
Well, I think it's very similar. They just, took out any color that wasn't serving a function. Like, they had all these same buttons, but it was, in a black bar.
Right, it was in a black bar before, and now it's over the image, which is a lot different.
I mean, the biggest thing for me was it hit actually at the perfect time. This new player, also the biggest thing is the interactive kind of 360 functionality within it. Mm-hmm. So when I even went into that 360 project recently, I was kind of forced originally to do it through the manufacturer of the lens that kind of created this 360 image through their kind of interactive thing. And it wasn't that good of a player, but now with YouTube having the ability to play this 360 interactive video is huge, because that's obviously where it's going to go, through the labels or the band's YouTube account. So, there's kind of nothing that this YouTube player doesn't have now, and I think that's just going to make Vimeo step their game up, because I want interactive Vimeo.
Well, the cool thing about this player is that. Like, if you're watching it on your phone with the 360 video that you're talking about, Ian, it's essentially it will scroll with your phone.
Yeah.
Like, just with your phone's movements. Have you seen this, Adam?
I have not. And Ian, what video are you referring to?
It is not out yet, but it will be soon. And I will send you a little link. It's that Made Violent video that we've been talking about.
Yeah, the one that was shot on my roof.
Yeah, and
nice 360 on Doug's roof.
Yeah,
and a bunch of other places too. But it's just really amazing that I only kind of had to do just kind of a basic code to make it 360. But the fact that it then recognizes the coordinates of your phone—I don't even know what to call it—like using the gyro or whatever.
It's so hard to explain even what.
And it does that for me too, and it was just it's just so mind-blowing showing people this video on a phone. And just watching their reactions to being able to view this whole world by just moving your phone and then you think of 3D virtual reality goggles and that whole thing, and I'm just so impressed by technology in the world now.
Adam, have you used an Oculus or anything like that?
I have used an Oculus Rift. Yes.
Okay. So essentially, it's what it's what Oculus does, but now any video that's YouTube. That's done, that's in 360, YouTube has now introduced the 360 thing where on desktop you can just kind of scroll around with your mouse.
That's so cool.
Now if you just open it up in the YouTube app on your phone, You can essentially mimic Oculus on your phone without needing anything. You can just kind of move your arm around, and it will move within the world of the 360 space. So if you like turn your arm or turn your head with your phone, it will work it like you're within the world. I don't know if I did any better job.
No, that sounds. I understand perfectly what you're talking about. And it's interesting because you know music videos have carried the online video format, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How many videos do we have in the 1 billion plus view range, Doug? I think 3 now.
No, 5.
5. Wow, that's way more than 3.
Yeah,
it's almost double. And
5 and the Enrique one is like 4 million away.
Yeah, and then
I'm gonna watch it 4 million times tonight.
And Shake It Off, I think, is pretty close too.
It is. By the end of like next year, maybe there'll be 10.
Yeah, which is insane. I mean, I remember the whole hoopla with Gangnam Style hitting 1 billion views, and just the whole novelty of that. And
still the top. Damn.
It is.
I don't think anything is going to unseat Gangnam Style. Everything else peters out earlier than that.
Just did. Wait, I'm gonna watch Bieber.
Well, who knows, I guess maybe
Blink's... 1.2 billion times tonight. It's gonna top it.
Little did you know, I have 1.2 billion computers at my house, and I'm gonna hit play on them all at the same time.
It's interesting to think of, like, you know, with these, you know, because with all the video technology becoming more standardized. I mean, the thing is, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we saw a lot of, you know, quote unquote, interactive music videos, which were great. But the issue is that the distribution was tough because they all kind of happened within, you know, their own website or their own kind of like their own sphere. And, you know, the whole idea of music videos has always been, you know, mass communication and making sure that everybody has access to it, at least in the YouTube age. And now with, you know, ideas and these technologies becoming more accessible, it's interesting to think of, like, you know, are music videos going to, you know, hop along for the ride? Or are they going to be kind of be left in the dust of being, you know, just a music video format that's just, you know, one frame that you kind of follow along? Or will they really excel in, you know, more interactive space? An interactive space where you can kind of like replicate this interactivity, you know, across platforms really easy, the way you could, you know, the way it was very novel to kind of replicate the ability to play video across any space with YouTube in its early days.
Yeah, I feel like they are in kind of the position to kind of pave the way for this stuff. I feel like lots of people still haven't adopted this technology or experienced it much. And, you know, with the most people watch, you know, with music videos being the most kind of accessed content on YouTube, the fact that this is getting brought to that space, and you're seeing it more and more. There was a Foles video last week that you're a little upset that I'm bringing this one up, Ian. I feel like, you know, you're not going to be able to get away from, like, the technology, like, people trying to use it. And I think you're like frustrated because you've been using this technology, you've been working.
Yeah. But you were right too, though, that it's a different video, you know.
And there's no way to take wind out of someone's sails right now.
Yeah.
in this space, because it is so new. Like, just because Nabil did a 360 video, you know, the fans of anybody who doesn't know Foles or Nabil hasn't accessed that yet through that. But I think as more and more bands are trying it, I do think music videos become the space where people are going to be introduced to this technology. I mean, the other stuff that's out there that utilizes, you know, Oculus and virtual reality, it's like non-narrative kind of lyrical, kind of like, you know, just experiences. And I think music videos are going to be a way to kind of bring that to, you know, narrative and to have the technology serve further purposes than just being like, here's what this technology can do.
That's true.
Now people are like going to leverage it
more. And I love it. I mean, I guess that's just me kind of wanting, I guess, to think that I was the first to kind of do this or use the YouTube player, but like we've kind of been saying, you know, these things have been coming out for a while. I think it's just exciting for it to all be centralized, and I'm also excited just for the future of projects to kind of have that interactive, immersive element to it. I think it's really interesting and a whole new realm to explore with videos. We're now just like cameras. I think 360 technology is really inexpensive or getting very inexpensive, and you know, having the ability to make kind of that wow factor, I think, is just so exciting for, you know, for a DIY budget.
Because what was your camera, Ian, on this?
It was the A7S, and we shot it in 4K with a monitor. And then it was just like this specific lens called the GoPano.
So it was a single camera?
Yeah, it was one camera, and it captured 360 kind of field of view. I think
Nabil
with GoPros, with multiple GoPros, because that's also the way to do it too, and to stitch it. But I kind of wanted to minimize a post workflow, and also there was one program, I forgot the name of it, that's kind of the leader in kind of stitching together those like multiple angles. I think Nabil's video is done through that, but I kind of knew I wanted to keep something very simple, and that's why I kind of went with this lens and shooting in 4K, kind of having as much resolution as I could, knowing I'll probably have to stretch it out to have that kind of 360 view. And when I bring it into YouTube, it's kind of a stretched out version. So
I am excited about, I was skeptical of 3D, or excuse me, 360 up until like 3 minutes ago. No, up until like, you know, like, I mean, honestly, like months ago, but it's moved so fast. I feel like, at South by Southwest this year, this was still like a thing where people were like, look at this. And it's still like a thing at the MoMA where it was like an unveiling of the Andrew Thomas Huang's Bjork.
Oh, that was the Oculus Rift thing.
Yeah.
Oculus. Man, that's awesome.
like that was like such, that's for it to be like a museum exhibition and like a big, like, you know, draw at South by Southwest to a thing where it's like now anyone with the YouTube app can get like a very similar experience. You know, you strap a cardboard box to your face and you have your phone, and suddenly you have a 360 3D new world. And, you know, that's pretty, pretty fast moving. Yeah. It's like a couple of months.
Ian, when you were shooting this music video, did you have to change anything about the production of it? In terms of letting people know, like, you know, because I think people kind of instinctively know when a camera is pointing somewhere that they're in the, you know, general field of vision. Did you have to kind of prep anybody in terms of, like, you know, how to shoot or how to, like, act on a music video where there was this kind of 360 aspect to it?
I think it was like, cause I had never shot anything that was 360 before. So I kind of went into it with the general idea of, you know, it's going to see everything, which is very difficult. And in the beginning of every take, it's always me kind of hitting the record and then sprinting as far as I could away from the camera to try to hide, because nothing can hide from this thing, you know, because it will see everything. So I think that was just like kind of, you know, getting that into also the band's head to utilize just the whole space and move around anywhere, like, you know, and you say that usually in a general term, we're like, oh, move around anywhere. No, like, literally, you like go anywhere, it will see everything. And that was just the fun of it, was to bring into like the most chaotic kind of places that we can think that would be very like visually appealing as well, and kind of let the chaos kind of unfold around it. And you know, I got a product I'm really psyched on, so it's pretty awesome. And you know, even just, I was skeptical about, you know, 360 or interactive, you know, because I dislike 3D. But I think this immersion that you get with, you know, for like this whole 360 field of view, I think it feels very real. And I generally kind of tend to make work that I like to feel as in your face and real as possible. So to kind of have that, I think it was, from an artistic perspective, it was as close to smell-o-vision as I could get, you know? So, you know, I'm still hoping for smell-o-vision.
You know, I am in the really same boat, still hoping for smell-o-vision.
One of these days, you know, I really hope that we get it, because I will make the stinkiest music video. It's going to be a dank dank. It's going to be good.
That is, I mean, I feel like it's going to be a very crowded field, so you've got to go extra dank.
Yeah, but Ian's already... you've got a treatment already ready. Right?
Exactly. It's for Snoop Dogg. Whenever he's ready, Stanko-vision, that Danko-vision. It's got to be a whole ensemble, but I definitely want Snoop locked in, or it's not happening.
Oh, man.
It's Snoop or nobody.
Oh, ASAP. I already got him in one of my videos, you know.
I am, like, really, like, now excited for this video.
I know. I'm probably going to go home and actually do that key of ASAP in the video.
You're going to sneak him in there.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's worth your effort.
Yeah, I got a little bit of work to do before that, but
right. So
should we talk about some of the music videos that came out this week? Yeah. in the world.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because this was a pretty big. I think we talk about the summer as being a big season for music videos, and I already feel like it's kind of like fall already for some reason with the music videos that have been coming out.
I wore a sweater today. No.
Did you really wear a sweater?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I did.
This podcast is full of people lying to me. This crop of music videos, I don't know, this feels like a crop of music videos that would come out in October for some reason.
Yeah, and the pop ones came out late.
Yeah. Like a lot of them were Thursday releases. A lot of these are Thursday releases, and we're recording this on a Thursday. But Doug, what do you feel like starting with?
I think we should start where the week kind of started with this Paul Thomas Anderson directed Joanna Newsom music vid. Let's get this one out of the way.
So we should mention that Paul Thomas Anderson, also known as P.T. Anderson, I don't know.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah, ever. Yeah, exactly. He is obviously a famous director.
Movie director, although he's done music videos.
He has done music videos. But he kind of made news recently. I don't know if recently is the right word, maybe 6 months ago. He held a talk or a class at NYU.
Right.
And he kind of showed like pieces of stuff that he loves from different mediums.
Yeah.
And he showed like a clip from a movie and from a short film, and he showed a clip from a music video, and guess what music video he showed?
I know.
I know too.
It was
In the Club, 50 Cent.
Yeah, exactly. The one where he's hanging upside down.
Yeah.
Doing upside down sit-ups. Right. No, it was Oblivion by Grimes, directed by Emily Kaibach, who is a friend of the podcast. And has been on the podcast to talk about this very video that was shot by Evan Proflosky.
He's also been on this podcast.
And also been on this podcast, which was, I was surprised, but not in a way like, oh, I can't believe he knows this music video. I was surprised because that music video is like one of my all-time favorites, and I've right. Paul Thomas Anderson talk about it in that way. So this music video is by Joanna Newsom, and I do not know how to pronounce the name of the song. Doug, are you going to give it a try?
Nope, I'm going to toss that to Ian.
I actually tried to do this yesterday when I was watching the video, and I couldn't, so let's give this a whirl now. Sapokanikan?
Yeah, I think all of those are equally correct.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this video is it's very easy to describe the concept of it. It is Joanna Newsom just kind of like walking around the streets of New York City at various times, and this is shot very obviously in the winter, so it must have been. I mean, it's August.
Yeah,
right
made
now.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it was shot a long time ago, and she's just basically kind of singing her song. There's no really other way to describe it. The video is in the details of it, in the implementation. But I I mean, as a fan of, I do not live there, but I really love New York. I really like this video a lot.
I was a little frustrated by this video. Just because, but I also forgot that Paul Thomas Anderson had mentioned that Grimes video. Because at first I'm like watching this video and it's like, Paul Thomas Anderson doesn't know shit about music videos. He's so out of touch. He's just fucking filming Joanna Newsom walking around New York City. What a lazy, dumb music video. But then I forgot that about him mentioning that.
Wait, did you forget until I just mentioned it right now?
No, I mean, like, not, like, I didn't, not since watching this video. Like, I remember that he said that and thought about it in different contexts, in a different context recently. But since his video came out on Monday, I had forgot that he had mentioned that and, like, forgot how tuned, like, he actually is kind of tuned into music videos. And, you know, if you wrote down on paper what that music video is and what this music video is, they're the same. They're very similar.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too.
But I just, I mean, I think in terms of music videos right now, Emily's a better music video director than probably Paul Thomas Anderson is.
Oh, shit.
Well, whatever.
Throw it in.
Oh, shit. I mean, this music video is fine, but I feel like I got tricked into watching it because Paul Thomas Anderson's name was on it. Like, I don't think you're right, it is in the subtleties, and I didn't necessarily, like, pick up on all of the subtleties, and I watched this video a little while ago with Ian, and Ian pointed some of them out to me. And it's not, there are some nice things going on here, but I feel like it doesn't take Paul Thomas Anderson to capture what was captured here. And it's not just Paul Thomas Anderson. This is a pretty big crew for this video. We don't have everyone credited, but that's because the credits in, it just says crew and then it lists 11 guys.
Yeah. Which is like kind of weird. And again, like when you think of Paul Thomas Anderson and Joanna Newsom, like the budget must have been crazy, you know, and you think you forced to do a crazy budget video or something very simple and, you know, off the cuff and DIY like this. But kind of coming from that too, it's, and also now thinking of the Grimes video where, you know, even that I felt had just a kind of, it was more, I don't know, technically better shot, you know, better locations. And
well, is Grimes off the cuff? I don't know
if that Grimes video,
I don't think that's off the cuff.
Some of it is, and like the rodeo.
Well, like, I think that was a lot more thought out and planned. Sure. And has a lot more perspective than this Joanna Newsom video. And so, like, some of it feels off the cuff, but it's got a lot more. It's like got a lot more going on.
Yeah,
and I think this one like lacks a little bit of that depth.
I kind of love it now, thinking that she's kind of walking in to get a cheeseburger. I think that's that's to me my thesis for the video. And you know, I don't know.
I just feel like you can't be off the cuff and be Joanna Newsom, and that's why it's the winter. Like, this music video was made so long ago. They're like, well, it's not ready to go out yet. So this is going to go out in August. Fucking deal with it.
Big greasy cheeseburger. Yeah. So fun fact. Think she
walks into Grace Papayas.
No. So pop quiz. Can anybody tell me who Joanna Newsom's husband is?
Akiva Schaffer. No, I'm kidding. Andy Samberg.
Oh, how'd you guys know that? Damn.
We talked about it.
They're famous people.
They are famous people.
I didn't know it. Apparently, I've been called Andy Samberg a few times.
Do you apparently, or you know this?
Well, someone walked up to me and was like, "Hey, Andy." I'm like, "Nah, that's not me." Yeah, wait, that's kind of for real though.
Ian, do you bear resemblance to Andy Samberg?
I never thought so until people started calling me it. But now, you know, I'm looking into a life of being his body double.
Mm. You were wearing your "I am Andy Samberg" shirt, and yeah. So I probably had.
Yeah,
it's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, but I do agree that there is, like, kind of pieces of the Oblivion video with not as much as the charm, not as much of the charm of it.
Yeah, right. I just feel like, I don't know, it's like I said, it's a fine video. I feel like I got tricked into watching it, though, because I probably wouldn't have if Paul Thomas Anderson's name wasn't attached.
Doug, what if the director was Adam Fairholme?
Well, then I would have watched it. No, then I wouldn't have watched it at all.
So let's move on to another music video of the
week. Let's talk about other videos.
I really wanted to talk about this Lana Del Rey high
bar. All right, let's rip it out.
This is the effect of doing a podcast for so long is now we're talking about artists like on their second cycle after their last release.
Yeah. So let's first mention that this chat will contain spoilers. It should be just like a general rule of the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, but like it will. So if you haven't watched this video, watch it first.
Right. So this is High by the Beach, Lana Del Rey's new track off her new project. It feels like literally like last month that her last album came out.
Right.
And we had, you know, videos from Vincent Haycock, and other directors for that project. But now we're moving into the new Lana Del Rey sphere. And I'm feeling super old because it feels like very, very recent. Like I was very nervously watching her on Saturday Night Live. She was famously booked on SNL without having any like national like TV experience whatsoever.
You felt a deep connection with her with that performance,
right? Yeah, because I've often been hired for shows without any national TV experience. So. So this is High by the Beach, directed by Jake Nava. Jake Nava, I feel like, is like one of those directors that's kind of like mentioned in like the like, oh, he's just a pop video director, but has like some of the most amazing music videos of the last 10 years, like Put a Ring, or Single Ladies Put a Ring on It by Beyonce, right. Somebody Like You by Adele, right. So this music video I actually really, really like. So Lana Del Rey is in this seaside,
amazing house.
Yeah, but so the thing about the seaside house is like right by a highway. The initial helicoptering shot, there's just cars like whizzing by this highway behind this house. And it looks a little like run down or whatever. But you know, this is like this three-story like seaside cliff house. And the plot kind of is, you know, Lana Del Rey's inside this house, and there's a helicopter outside with a guy like taking pictures,
like a paparazzi.
Yeah, like paparazzi kind of deal. Although, do paparazzi have helicopters?
I think this is exaggerated.
Yeah, so she's
because they do hide and they're ridiculous. If you remember, like Evan, who shot the Lana Del Rey video, the Vincent Haycock one, like. He was sharing pictures of him that had been shot by paparazzi. He was like, my first paparazzi experience, and it's him shooting that.
West Coast, yeah. So, anyway, so she kind of goes down these three stories and then into the rocks. It's a very rocky beach. And pulls out this guitar case, like Desperado style, and runs up, you know, into the house with this guitar case, and then pulls out this really crazy looking weapon out of it, this gun, and then points it at the helicopter, shoots it, and the helicopter explodes.
Yeah.
It's like smash the like haters.
A rocket launcher from like Halo.
Yeah. It's a crazy looking gun.
So this is like up until like the gun portion takes place at like the back like quarter of the video, like the whole front half of the video, like the helicopter makes appearances and like is blowing wind throughout the house, but for the lion's share of this video, it's just her like looking attractive leaning through this house, and like the helicopter appears a few times, and then it's just like kind of a twist at the end.
I think it's exactly how I would have directed a Lana Del Rey video, in like my crazy alter ego action director kind of thing. Because you know, it's like Lana Del Rey fans are gonna watch this whole video. You know, there's a handful of people who probably might get bored, and you know that's why you kind of have to have Doug by your side every time you watch a video. Be like, wait for it, it's gonna happen.
I was kind of I'm like, this, it's not good yet.
And it's just. It's so rewarding. I mean, who doesn't want to see Lana, you know, launch a teddy bear into a helicopter and blow the papas the bits?
I'm trying to think if there's like any group of people who is like okay to blow up in a helicopter other than paparazzi. If that had been anybody else in the, like, basically any other, like, group of people, it's like, oh, it's a helicopter full of babysitters. You can blow up. Or, like, whatever. Like, that wouldn't have been okay. But because it's paparazzi and how, like, invasive of a career that is.
But at the same time, too, I'm kind of amazed that they got the footage back, because from the helicopter, it was obviously how they shot the, you know, beginning half of the video and cutting back. And yeah, it's... Like they literally blew. Actually, no, they didn't blow up paparazzi. They blew up their own operators.
I know they blew up the people to make this video.
That's baller. Damn.
Lana Del Rey's murderer for music
video. But crazy. But what has she got against us? Really?
I feel like the draw before Lana Del Rey's, you know, revenge is exacted is, you know, Lana Del Rey is in a very kind of like sheer nighty. And she's looking like slightly like a little like thicker than she used to be maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. It's a very appealing look, and I feel like that's like half of the video here. There's like the violence part, but there's also, you know, the sexual part as well, and I think that's what makes this video.
Well, they did get to make this be two videos. They did get to make it be like, let's make Lana Del Rey look attractive and awesome in a big fancy beachside house and have like...
How fancy is this house though? Because it's like
3-4 stories.
No, I think there's highways next to every mansion, and like there's highways and in LA.
Yeah, but hold on a second. So there is a New Yorker piece that I encourage everybody listening to this podcast to go read on Billy Joel. We will link to it in the podcast notes at imvdb.com/podcast. And it talks about, like, so, like, as, like, Vampire Weekend is to Manhattan, I feel like Lana Del Rey is to the Hamptons in a little bit. And I don't know, I was really surprised to see, like, Lana Del Rey not in some like crazy amazing Hampton beach house.
This house amazes me.
Yeah, it looks like it's in California just because I'm from the East Coast. I'd be really surprised if this
This looks like an amazing house to me. I think I think this is intended to be like a gaudy amazing house.
Yeah, maybe
but
you're
like,
just
either way, I think that like we're getting away, like my point is that this gets like one of the jokes of like a pop video, like a joke about a behind the scenes of a pop video, is there's like somebody there, like a female pop video, is there's like somebody standing just off screen with a fan in their hand, just like blowing it on the female pop artist to have her like hair and clothes kind of like flow and blow in the wind. And they were able to like do that at a like a crazy scale, like helicopter level wind on Lana Del Rey in that, like you described, like a very like flowing sheer nightgown or whatever. I don't know what it is. Not night in this video. A nightgown does not sound sexy.
The album artwork. She's in the album
she's
artwork.
She's in a boo-boo.
Yeah, exactly.
But like they get to work that stuff in, but then have it pay off. Have it like have substance and like a reason for it a little bit. And I think this is like
part of me wonders if like when it gets really close to the window, I don't know if they can actually. They might have been even CG the helicopter. Maybe. It gets really close at one point.
I know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is CG. But I like to feel like this is 100% practical. This video.
Yeah, me too.
That's a real gun.
And there's a real cheeseburger inside of the guitar case.
It's a documentary about Lana Del Rey.
It all really comes back to cheeseburgers, honestly.
This is about getting cheeseburgers. Yeah. But this is a great video. I like this video a lot. I wanted to not like this. And as it's happening, I'm like, this is dumb. And then the video ends, I'm like, all right, fine. That was fantastic.
So speaking of dumb, I really, really want to talk very briefly about this Robin Thicke video.
Let's get it.
Because we all, I think everybody, I think Doug and I at least, wrote off Robin Thicke. And I think everybody in the world wrote off Robin Thicke months ago when he released that, what was that video by, that was basically like, Please Take Me Back, his ex-wife.
Yeah, he like literally, it was called Get Her Back.
Right, exactly, yeah. And it was, and Robin Thicke went through like a very, very public, you know, breakup with his wife. I can't remember his wife's name. But it was very, very public, and public in a very kind of deliberate way, where that song that Doug and I are referring to was basically about like getting his wife back.
Yeah, he had like text messages in the video.
Yeah,
like...
it was by Jonas Åkerlund.
Right.
Get Her Back from 2014. And God, there's been such a backlash against against Blurred Lines of 2013.
Yeah, like people love that song. It was playing everywhere, and then like somebody's like, by the way, this is maybe like about rape or something. And then everybody now is like, now it is like the poster child for what you shouldn't write for a song. And but like there were like, it's so weird how quick people turned on that video. Or excuse me, that song in general, but I guess, you know, that video by association.
Still right. Hear it all the time.
where do you hear it? I haven't heard it in months.
I shoot like weddings and events to make my money.
Right, right.
So the population, you'd be really surprised. I hear the same, and you know, it's great because a lot of these like places are, you know, really wealthy weddings, so they have like bands perform them, and sometimes it's like better. Like I kind of like hearing Blurred Lines from like these really talented group of like musicians, like being this wedding band or something.
That's
like,
so fun. I thought you were kidding that you hear it all the
time. No, it's frightening. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, everything. Like I can't listen to the radio because I listen to it on weekends for my job. So
Blurred Lines still gets the party started with moms.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because they all know it too. So, oh God, this is. Can we get off this? Let me talk about this video.
No, yeah, we're getting back to
these are things that I have to just like put out of my head to even do my job. So,
let's talk about what you wear when you shoot weddings. No,
all black, baby.
Do you
gotta go all black for the weddings. Yeah,
yeah,
it's important.
I'm murdered out.
Is Robin Thicke is kind of like wedding band in this, right? With his
oh microphone. Yeah, you know, maybe that's what it should have been. Okay, so. You know, Doug and I, I guess we both wanted to love this, but
I
would have loved if you know, Nikki and Robin got married, and that was the whole thing. That spin at the drop, you know, I'm a little bummed that, you know, the drop was just the obvious cut to the artist, you know, but that would be sweet if they were getting married. That'd be so triumphant. I think that'd be great. I don't know if you can really put a ring on Nicki Minaj, but
I mean.
Did he?
Meek Mill tried, didn't he?
Oh.
I don't know enough. But I do think they're pretty tired. Because
they're just kind of cooling by the pool. I mean, yeah, we know this life. You live large. We get it. You get pushed in pools. Get it.
I feel like after Robin Thicke's very high profile like separation from... Oh, it's killing me that I don't know his wife's name. Hold on a second.
Yeah, we can Google it. Yeah.
Paula. There
Paula Thicke.
I think they're... Yeah, Paula Thicke. I feel like I was like I'm bracing for the divorced Robin Thicke album like opener, and here it is. If you are a reader of Jezebel, the feminist blog, brought to you by the same folks as Gawker and Deadspin and all that, they posted a article about this video that was entitled "Robin Thicke's Back Together Video is for Divorced Dads Everywhere." And it makes a pretty good case of like that is exactly what is happening here. I mean, the entire video is basically him. I think he's wearing like skinny jean bottoms or like skinny jean suit bottoms or something like that. He is incredibly
tailored pants,
exactly. But yeah, he's thrown in the pool. Nicki Minaj has a sort of like half-hearted verse in it. Where Doug, your line comes from. Doug, what was that line?
It was Kitty on Fleek.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is something, you know, it's a brag that I feel like Nicki Minaj has made before. I wanted to do the Hillary Clinton line.
What was that line?
It's people call me Hillary because I rot 'em.
Rot 'em.
And it's
we were waiting for that one. I'm glad I got it.
I really was considering that. Ian and I were talking about it, obviously, because we were gonna do that. but it's supposed to be ride him, but she says Rodham, like Hillary's name.
Middle name.
Yeah, middle.
Is that her maiden name?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Rodham is her maiden name, yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because on Rap Genius, it says, ride him, like ride apostrophe I am. And then it says in parentheses, Rodham. Like,
so I'm
not in the not.
So there's no hype man.
not in the annotation. No, that's not what that was.
That's the best part of it.
That's what he was doing. He was saying Rodham as if there was a hype man because I pull up the lyrics and I have to make sure I say the lyrics right. So I pull up Rap Genius.
Important, yeah.
Before every podcast, so
So
can we just mention quickly that this song is absolute garbage and is very, very forgettable.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, I already do not know anything about this song, and I watched the video like 3 times. But I feel like it is important in the context of somebody's career, such as Robin Thicke, who has kind of lived and died by music videos and lived and died by like public, very visual performances. Like his nail in the coffin was his Miley Cyrus and his performance from the Video Music Awards, which are coming up next month, with Miley, him and Miley Cyrus from 2013. This month, right? Yeah, end of August. It is August. So it is interesting in that sense of like somebody trying to recreate their image.
For the 15th time.
I think he had a really, really rough time with that, like, Paula stuff, with the Jonas Acklund video that was, very public and, like, very much not under the radar. But now we have something a little more concrete. I mean, Nicki Minaj is still, extremely popular. And she's featured in the song, even though she doesn't really do that much, which I find interesting. So, I kind of wrote Robin Thicke off as somebody who we would be like a Jeopardy question in 10 years. But I mean, maybe in 5 years he's back on top, I really don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Was this song supposed to be like him back together with his wife now?
Or no, is him back on the prowl. Ladies,
oh, yeah. Okay, now that makes sense.
Ian, is him like smashing.
No, pussy. He should have smashed a little harder. Maybe that was it. There wasn't, I think that's what we, if you're Robin Thicke, you've already hit that point where we get it. You're edgy. Like,
we get it.
Go for it. Like, take a cue from Rihanna's book and fucking smash it.
Smash it up, Robin Thicke. I don't think Robin Thicke needs to smash it up. I think
what else has he got to lose? Robin Thicke
needs to put it away. Doug, he is an inspiration for divorced dads everywhere. He is smashing it up.
Wealthy divorced dads. Like, you gotta,
Yeah, right, exactly. It's divorced dads who know Nicki Minaj.
He gets pushed into a pool and he doesn't even give a shit.
No, he takes it and he soaks it in. He's like, this is my life.
He actually has the graduate moment, though. Yeah, no, he gets really introspective when lying in that pool,
Yeah, right.
He's, hello, darkness, my old friend. Right,
you see it in his eyes. Yeah. He's grinning, but his eyes are dead.
Yeah.
This video was directed by...
Ben Moore,
who is... well known for directing, videos for One Direction, but that was incorrect.
No, he did he's done some Britney Spears music videos. He did the Scream and Shout Britney Spears Will I Am music video. He did the We Are One Ola Ola Pitbull music video that was for the FIFA World Cup, with Jennifer Lopez. One of the videos for the FIFA World Cup 2014. He did the Work Bitch video.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of stuff for Will.i.am, Part of Me by Katy Perry. A lot of high-profile music videos.
Wow. Did he break in through he probably did videos before that Black Eyed Peas video.
But he's been working since, the early 2000s with, big artists.
So we should talk about one more video. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
Well,
no, Ali video.
I guess like I would really like to talk about Ali's World War Part II video, but that is from last week.
Okay.
The FKA Twigs one is pretty high profile too.
I guess we can talk about that.
Between those, what do you want to do, Fairholme?
You know, I'm going to go FKA Twigs.
Okay, let's do FKA Twigs. That's fine. It makes the most sense.
Can we quickly give a shout to how awesome Ali's video is, though? Yeah. I was blown away.
Ali, who just got signed to Partizan.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Congratulations, Ali.
Who's been on this podcast. But yeah, we should talk about the Twigs video, I guess.
Yeah, I think we should. We've been talking about it.
The way I described this video is like eating your vegetables. Before Ian and I watched this video together, before we did, I was like reluctant to, because it's 16 minutes and 30 seconds, and it's four songs off her new EP, which I'm assuming I just say these letters and numbers would be how I say this EP's name. M3LL155X. That can't be.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
Oh man. So that's what it is, and it's like just looking at it, just like knowing that that's going to be, you know, not super easily approachable type.
I think it's
video for FKA Twigs, and it's something that's you don't know if it's a short film or if it's just a visual accompaniment to this EP or if it's a music video or what. And the fact that it was 17 minutes long, I was just like, I had to psych myself up to press play on this video. I don't know about you guys.
I think we were talking about that before too, where, you know, I think there's a big it's a big draw to kind of having this EP release with a visual accompaniment too. But I would have loved to also see it like broken up, you know, because it doesn't seem like there's really a lot tying it together as if it was a short film, or like, why are we going to watch all 16 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I'm still kind of.
It's just like just the way it's presented. It's almost hard to talk about the content of the video.
Well, part of it we've already seen, right?
The
Glass and Patron video.
Right, that came out as part of the YouTube Awards.
Right, from March of this year, so several months ago. So part of this was filmed in March. We know that at least. It's kind of directed into or segmented into four parts. One of them is very focused on the artist Michelle Lamy, I believe.
Is that the beginning?
That's the beginning where the older woman who is Michelle Lamy is has the sort of anglerfish thing on her forehead where it kind of like goes down into a light.
Yeah.
And most of that is, you know, directed toward her. And then it goes into... So that is new, I believe. I believe we have not seen that before.
Yeah, I don't recognize that from anywhere. Did you know anglerfish off the top of your head?
I did, yeah. It's like a famous like, deep-sea fish.
Yeah, oh, I know it. I just didn't know the name. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah, see, I think that may be the only deep-sea fish I know, so don't give me any credit.
Tingle boy fish.
The second video is, I think, the one that is maybe like creating the most dialogue out of this, and that is FKA Twigs as a blow-up doll.
Yeah.
And she like starts the video by sort of like inflating in like a computer-generated form, and then is used by whatever dude this is that they cast for this role.
Yeah, right. Crowning achievement of this actor's career.
Yeah, he's gonna put that on his resume. And then the third portion is
she's Prego now.
Yeah, she's Prego, and she is kind of like dancing around. It's tough to describe. And the fourth one we've already seen is the Patron, although it is recut a little bit, I believe.
I guess there is like kind of like a narrative between once we get past the anglerfish.
Mm-hmm.
Portion.
I don't know what that part is about, yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of connect this, like, you know, impregnated as the blow-up doll, and then, but the beginning part, and that's the part that's got to, like, get you to, like, be like, I'm going to watch this 16-minute video. This is convincing me to do that. And I can't remember. 3 minutes of lady face is tough.
Is she Prego in the third video, the whole thing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she's dancing because that's
no. Even, and then she gets in the third one or the final.
The third one with the she's like dancing for this guy.
Yeah, she is pregnant in this.
Yo, place. Oh, that's actually kind of crazy. No, well, when they do the cuts of the dance crew, she's not. But I remember she was like dancing in this like, yeah, she's like dancing for that guy.
Right, that guy in that box.
It's styled very much as like a.
Like
late 90s music video.
Well, yeah,
you see like a TLC video.
Right.
She's got like the baggy jeans, which was very popular. Like TLC would wear.
I might be holding a baby, but I can still get your man, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
The paint running down the legs is crazy. So. And then it transitions from that into a lot of what we saw for the YouTube Awards. I'm wondering if she piggybacked the YouTube Awards budget and made this whole thing and then just put that part out. Like, where does this...
If the anglerfish came out of, you know, her at the... going into the next one, that probably would have sealed the deal for me.
That would have been it.
That would have been epic. You know, because then, like, oh my god, all of it tied back together.
I really love this when it came out for the YouTube Awards. The final piece.
I just love taking, you know, high-powered HMIs into the forest with generators and doing a Vogue. That's just, they made that. I'm like, damn, that's an idea I can't do.
Yep, cross that, delete that file.
Yeah, damn. It was a good one. Yeah, that's always been on my radar. I've pitched that so many times.
Yeah, you just couldn't find the right band.
Yeah. Almost did it with Wild Nothing, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, they really trucked in some pretty high-powered lights for that forest scene.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because FKA Twigs kind of, like, signature styling. It's always interesting when you go to, like, FKA Twigs page on IMDb. Like, the number one video is Price Tag by Jesse J, directed by Emil Nava. Funnily enough. Really?
I like the Water Me video. I think it's incredible.
The reason she's in this Price Tag is she's just a dancer in this video, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a backup dancer in that. Like, she's only in it for a few seconds, but she is like technically in it. And the third one is Time to Dance by The Shoes, featuring Jake Gyllenhaal, directed by Daniel Wolf.
Yeah, when is she in that?
She's at the very, very end. She's one of the dancers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of reminds you that she was a dancer for a long, long time.
That's where the name comes from. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she was originally Twigs, and then somebody else had the name Twigs, and then she...
Like, and that would make sense. Like, formerly known as the dancer Twigs. Yeah. But, you know, like, you know, when is she going to pull a Prince move and just go Twigs? You know?
I think that was the original problem, though, is that somebody was already named Twigs. So she couldn't do that. Yeah. But it's interesting because, like, when she does these sort of, like, dancer segments... Like, she knows exactly what that's about. She knows about being a backup dancer and how that industry works.
Yeah, right. So this wasn't like eating vegetables to you?
I'm a vegetarian. I love this.
16 minutes was a little excessive for me, honestly. I think the angler part, the first part, I mean, out of all the four kind of segments of this, that did the least for me.
Yeah, I just wish it would have been four things. I think it's like forcing itself to be some. It by it all just kind of like coming out of nowhere, like it just becomes done so that they can package it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be more into anglerfish if I wasn't like, oh my god, it's 3 minutes of anglerfish and then there's 13 more minutes of stuff to go.
But the thing is that she is hearkening back to a lot of like late 90s music video tropes in this.
Right.
And one of them is seeing like the elderly as sort of like grotesque and like a spectacle in a way. And
yeah.
A lot of her viewers are young and they've probably never seen an old.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they wouldn't like when I was watching the anglerfish portion of this, my mind was making connections like very frequently with music videos that I had seen in the late 90s. You know, you like metal music videos that thought they were being edgy by bringing some old person, you know, in and like lighter in very similar fashion.
Yeah.
I
can see that.
And then, so it was interesting when I saw like the third portion where she was definitely like, she was channeling Aaliyah in a way, and you know, kind of imitating that. So there's a lot of, you know, even though FKA Twigs I think is one of the most original artists we've seen in a long time, with this she's definitely channeling a lot of like late 90s music video tropes, which is interesting.
Yeah, totally. And this might be one of the only times where our conversation about the video is shorter than the video itself. usually we talk for 15 minutes about a 2-minute music video.
I mean, but the big question is, like, would you fucking FKA Twigs blow up doll?
Oh my god, I don't want to answer that.
I thought it was creepy, you know, but, you know.
It definitely makes you think things and feel things. The dude tongue in the hand of a blow up doll, close ups of that with the slobbery man face.
I think it's weird
for me to watch, but I think that she wants it to be weird for me to watch. Not me specifically, but me, the person who watches it.
I think she should have probably gone a little more raw with it, you know, like really, like, you know, have the guy come out of her blow up doll or something, you know.
Like, FKA Twigs, if you're listening.
Oh no, I got nothing, man. I'll be weird enough to tackle FKA Twigs video in a little bit, but
you get it there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You got some ideas for your video.
It's crazy to see that, like, I guess the last other credited director is Nabil. Everything else, the Kyle Joseph one. But that's the thing, is that, like, you know, I wonder if she's truly directing these videos.
I think she is. She's doing a lot of stuff. She's directed a lot of stuff. She's like a Google Glass commercial. I do think that she is really kind of like helming these projects, and all of this stuff is deeply considered by her going into them.
Nothing against her, but, you know, I think, and she's a great director, but at the same time, I wonder if, you know, if she can keep the aesthetic and kind of this quote brand that she has, but give the directing work, I guess, to other people. Because I guess the reason maybe I'm not, or we're not talking too much about the video, is it just feels very typical FKA Twigs, you know, kind of what you'd expect from that. And I think, you know, why I guess I love the 2 weeks video then to build it, you know, because that had her kind of vibe, but someone else's vision on it. In the same way, I always kind of think that I tend to edit a lot of my projects, but I always love finding a good editor, because, you know, it's someone who can take a completely different spin on an idea. And, you know, I think that something that might be interesting is like having other people's visions kind of blend with her kind of aesthetic, or, you know, her thing. But, you know, I think she could really get a new vision, I don't know, of some of the stuff.
You can't kind of like burn a thing out, and you know, you want to be able to like build on it. You can't keep like it can almost become expected to do so unexpected things, and so you know, you I get that, you know, you bringing somebody else, so you're not kind of getting in your own way, but I think that what she's doing is still feeling fresh to me. I was just turned off by the length of 16 minutes. I watch a lot of things.
Doug doesn't have 15 minutes. Let alone 16.
My eyes have a limit on how many times I can watch a lady eat a light bulb.
So Doug's eyes have a limit, and I think people's ears have a limit. I think we might have done it for this week.
I think we did. I'm proud of us.
We got the music videos that are in. This was a late week music video week. Recording this on Thursday. I think most of the videos we talked about came out today, actually.
Yeah, a lot of them. Before we go, if you're listening to this, I want you to send a tweet to @IMBDB about how many times Ian and my knees accidentally touched during the recording of this podcast by having to share the earphone.
Closest one to it gets an IMVDB t-shirt.
It's a free IMVDB t-shirt.
No, it's still $10.
Oh, no, you still pay us money, right? We will send it to you, unlike the other people who have sent us money. We just take it and say, no, t-shirt lost in the mail.
And I guess we should start that now because our legs have touched a bunch since.
It's the full. It's the whole podcast. By the end of it's for the whole podcast. So all we're continuing to count. The number rises rapidly.
Yeah.
And Ian, you have, as we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, a music video coming out.
Made Violent, Wasted Days is the track. It'll be out soon. Definitely not by the time this podcast comes out, but it's done, other than a little bit of, blurred lines, should I say? there's a few things that I have to take out, but
when it's 360 degrees,
you can see everything. Yeah, right. So I've got a. We're dealing with some got to blur some logos.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that music video.
I'll send that to you, Adam. You get the sneak peek.
the Fairholme peak. It's got a name.
Yeah, anybody wants to send me sneak peeks of stuff, adam@imvdb.com.
And Snapchat's a great place to send nudes to Adam.
Exactly, in case anyone wants to send. Please wait until I install Snapchat on my phone. Snapchat @AdamFairholme.
Yeah, got about three or four before I leave Doug's place waiting for you.
Yeah,
for
me. Yeah,
so, looking forward to that as well. So many things to look forward to, really.
Future is bright.
The future. It's August. We got the VMAs coming up. And if you are interested in the VMAs, Doug and I believe, will be doing, as we are wont to do, a live blog because it's so much fun.
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
So we'll look out for that at imvdb.com/blog. And Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here. I feel like I've grown into my manhood. I am now a man. It was my second bar mitzvah, I guess.
Here we go, second bar mitzvah.
This is the first time that our podcast has been described as a second bar mitzvah, and I'm okay with that.
It's like that Drake video, you know, the Director X, I think, right. Did that.
The HYFR video?
Yeah.
Or is it the bar mitzvah? I love that video.
This is that moment for me right now. Doug's got me up on a moment. Doug's got me up on the chair. You know, we got the whore on deck.
You know, I am really virtually pushing you up on a chair right now, Ian. So,
well, I've been sitting on Doug's lap this whole time. So,
and he's getting real sweaty.
Yeah, the knee thing—it's like a horror for a small person. You know, it's like a little
real fun.
A dolphin ride, if I may.
And on that note, we'll see everybody next week.